right now on VFN TV, Norma McCorvey, the one that was epicenter for Roe versus Wade, the law taking place, she just passed away. We'll be talking about her. Also, Teen Vogue, how teens are standing up for pro-life and confronting the Planned Parenthood narrative. Also, did you know every 40 seconds an abortion takes place in America? We're talking about that. Also, debunking the myths of Planned Parenthood and how the historical racist reality of the history of Planned Parenthood and the Vice President, Vice President Pence, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Did you know today, well, not today, but just recently, Norma McCorvey passed away? You might not know her unless you know about the case in 1973 at the Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade. The people who were pro-abortion at that time were looking for a case, a person who wanted to be able to abort their child, to take to the Supreme Court, and they found one. Her name was Norma McCorvey. She never had an abortion, but guess what? They used her all the way to Supreme Court and changed the laws to where 50 million children since then plus have been aborted because of that law that was made on the Supreme Court. As a matter of fact, let's go back and look at Norma McCorvey, what the Washington Post has to say about her. Let's take a look.
Norma McCorvey was better known as Jane Roe, the pseudonymous plaintiff in the monumental Supreme Court case Roe v. Wade. But she never found an easy fit as a poster girl, either for the abortion rights movement or for the anti-abortion movement, which she embraced in her later years. When she challenged Texas abortion laws in 1970, she was 22, trapped in a life of poverty and addiction, and facing her third pregnancy. When the Supreme Court ruling came down in her favor in 1973,
the Supreme Court today ruled that abortion is completely a private matter.
She had already given birth and placed her child for adoption.
I never had the right to choose.
By her own description, McCorvey was a simple woman with a ninth grade education who just wanted a safe and legal abortion. What she got was a ruling that changed the course of reproductive rights in America. After fully shedding her anonymity, she used her connection to the abortion rights fight to further that cause, working with clinics and advocates. But she grew to feel isolated and abandoned by the movement, which never moved her to its forefront.
I've been shunned by quite a few of the national leaders in the pro-choice movement. I really get this really strong hit that people think that I'm just like totally stupid, and I'm not. I mean, I've got brains and I have ideas, and I just don't really feel like they hear me. So, I mean, I wasn't their chosen one to be their special Jane Roe.
In 1995, she moved to the other side of the abortion debate, declaring herself a born-again Christian.
Hallelujah!
And found herself again in the headlines.
We forgive you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
She spent recent years speaking out against abortion and attending pro-life rallies.
How many of us want to see Roe versus Wade overturned?
Anti-abortion rights activists regarded her reversal as a victory for their cause.
Washington Post is reporting that Norma did never fully engage in the pro-life. That couldn't be any further than the truth. She gave her life to Jesus Christ. She stood up. She never had an abortion. She was used in her poverty and her a place of addiction by those who wanted to promote their agenda to be able to end the life of children. But here's Norma McCorvey in her own words talking about her testimony. Let's go there now.
Most of you won't recognize me or my real name. It's Norma McCorvey. I'm also known as Jane Roe, the plaintiff in the Supreme Court case, Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion in America and changed our nation in an unprecedented way. Back in 1973, I was a very confused 21-year-old with one child and facing an unplanned pregnancy. At the time, I fought to obtain a legal abortion, but the truth be told, I have three daughters and have never had an abortion. However, upon knowing God, I realized that my case, which legalized abortion on demand, was the biggest mistake of my life. You see, abortion has eliminated 50 million innocent babies in the U.S. alone since 1973. Abortion scars an untold number of post-abortive mothers, fathers, and families, too. You read about me in history books, but now I'm dedicated to spreading the truth about preserving the dignity of all human life, from natural conception to natural death.
This is amazing. So she definitely engaged in the pro-life from conception to death. She was totally for that. She's for Jesus Christ. She gave her life to the Lord. And so even though the Washington Post reported, you know, somewhat accurately, the true solid testimony of Norma is she was a Christian and loved the Lord. And we know where she is right now. I think about this. You're looking, I don't know if you saw the March for Life. We had a program where we showed the March for Life. There was over 300,000 in 2010 people that showed up in Washington, D.C. To be able to say, you know, we stand for life and we're pro-life. And the interesting thing about that was there were young folks. Now, they reported it, as we talked about, the biased media reported it as, you know, that they were old folks and, you know, Christian conservatives and they all had gray hair. But the truth is, there were young people. We had students from Liberty University and from all around the nation that were there that we interviewed and we showed. But listen, this is a young teenager. Her name is Autumn. And she read in Teen Vogue magazine. Now, there's a magazine called Vogue, you know, I guess for adults or whatever, but Teen Vogue, it's focused for teenagers. And she was shocked what she read. And so here is their worst nightmare, Planned Parenthood and people that are for pro-abortion. This is their worst nightmare. What? Young people, young girls standing up for life. Let's join Autumn right now.
Hello, my name is Autumn, and I'm 16 and would like to talk to you about an article recently posted by Teen Vogue called What to Get a Friend Post-Abortion. And since I'm a teen, this was directed towards me and I would like to respond. The point of the article was to make the situation seem as lighthearted and nonchalant as possible in order to convince girls my age that abortion is no big deal. Well, we need to clarify one thing first. Abortion is a big deal, a very big deal. And to say it is not is simply feeding us a lie. Right off the bat, Teen Vogue said, quote, "Look, making this decision is never simple, and having to make it as a teenager is more than a little terrifying, but it shouldn't have to be so scary," unquote. Okay, which is it? Is it more than a little terrifying, or is it not so scary? You can't have it both ways. It's one or the other. So the article said it doesn't have to be so scary, but I think we can all agree abortion is scary. No one skips into that room as if they're getting their hair highlighted or their nails painted. And just for the record, the thought of going into a room and having my baby surgically removed from my body is both terrifying and scary. And none of these gifts would make me feel better. And if they did make me feel better, that would mean I need serious counseling. Teen Vogue, you should be held accountable for this disgusting and disrespectful article. You trivialized an issue that leaves millions of women struggling every day. Such a blasé approach hurts women who regret their abortions. It minimizes their pain. So let's go through a couple of the ideas for post-abortive girls provided by Teen Vogue. Gift number one, a funny movie. Let's look at what this is saying. We understand that you've had a rough day, so here's a funny movie to get your mind off of it. You know when this would be appropriate? After your friend got their wisdom teeth taken out, not after they've had an abortion. How offensive to think a comedy would be a good antidote for the pain your friend might be feeling. Number two, underwear that you can rock after your abortion. Now, this one is pretty unbelievable, so I'm going to read a part of the article for you. Quote, "If you haven't already heard about Think's underwear, then I'm about to rock yo world. These revolutionary panties allow you to free bleed like our foremothers wished they could. Technically, they're made for your period, but that's no reason not to rock them for your post-abortion woes, especially because there will be blood." Unquote. Do I even need to explain why this is so deplorable? The language and flippant tone is appalling. Who would even consider rocking underwear after experiencing an abortion? Yes, there will be blood, because that's what happens after a pregnancy ends, and it's traumatizing. And cool underwear won't fix it or make it all better. Number 3. Angry uterus heating pad. This is a heating pad shaped as a uterus with an angry, mad face on it. Teen Vogue said, quote, "Likely worse than any period symptoms you've ever experienced. You'll love it. It's like two throbbing hot balls of lead are trying to escape your body, all while your stomach contracts over and over again. Huzzah!" Unquote. Remember in the beginning of the article when they said abortion doesn't have to be so scary? Well, this sounds pretty scary to me. A creepy little gag gift is not going to counteract the feelings of hot lead balls escaping your body. Number 4. Girl power hat. Is this really the time for that? I just ended my baby's life. Girl power. Are they insinuating that girls who celebrate their abortions understand girl power more than girls who regret them or refuse to have them? And by the way, how many aborted babies have been girls? What about their rights? When do girls begin to have power? And how powerful do you have to be to destroy the most helpless of people? To me, abortion seems like the opposite of girl power. It is the most invasive and degrading thing that could happen to a girl. And my version of girl power is knowing that I am valuable and precious. I am grateful I was allowed to live, and I want all girls and boys to have that same right. This is a human rights issue, not a girl power movement. Number 5. F uterus pin. Yep, you heard that right. An F uterus pin. I see a hidden motive here. They mentioned that this would be an armor in which to defend yourself against insensitive jerks asking about why you've had an abortion. 1. How would they even know you've had an abortion? I guess unless you're wearing an F uterus pin. And 2. Some of the proceeds go to Planned Parenthood. So I think the motive here is to support Planned Parenthood rather than being there for your friend. 6. Become an abortion clinic escort. In no way are children qualified to escort someone into a clinic to have an abortion. Teen Vogue, are you really encouraging teens to go be abortion escorts? Do you really think we, minors, have the tools to deal with that kind of pressure on an ongoing basis? Number 7. A needlepoint that reads, "We won't go back." I'm only 16 and know that guilt follows women for years after abortions. And I also know a cross stitch isn't going to change that. But this article said, quote, "There is nothing to be ashamed of or feel guilty about." If girls are being told this, no wonder our culture has become so desensitized to the idea of taking the life of a baby. It's only after it happens and the guilt plagues them and the depression drags them down that they look at the cross stitch on the wall that their friend gave them and think, "I actually wish I could go back." But sadly, by then it's too late, and the "we won't go back" turns into "we can't go back," which unfortunately is something women only realize after they've had an abortion. This article made light of a heart-wrenching issue. Trivializing abortion doesn't do anyone any good. Joking about it is incredibly offensive to all involved. Do you know what I want to tell girls who've had abortions? I want them to know that there are organizations out there that will help them where they're at. There are places that will provide counseling, such as Rachel's Vineyard, a safe place to renew, rebuild, and redeem hearts broken by abortion. The National Hotline for Abortion Recovery is 866-482-LIFE. And for local pregnancy resource centers in your area, visit healingafter.com and enter your zip code. And for those of you in high school and college, you can join me and get involved in Students for Life. This is a wonderful way for us young people to be involved in the pro-life movement. If you know someone who has had an abortion, don't buy them a gag gift and disguise it as a celebration. Treat it for what it is, a terrible loss. Go sit with her in her grief. Pray for her, remind her of God's redemption, and comfort her in her suffering. Offer your friendship and promise to help her find healing. No matter what stance you have on abortion, it should never be treated with such nonchalance as this piece did. And if you are considering an abortion, remember, circumstances change. You won't always feel this afraid. And there are so many options and resources for you, such as adoption. My sister is adopted, and I cannot imagine my life without her. Her life is a gift to us. You have the power to choose life. And where there is life, there is always hope.
That is so powerful, Autumn. You did an excellent job. I want to encourage you to stand up with these young folks who are saying, listen, you know, we're not for taking the life of a child. We are for ending abortion. And we're seeing, you know, abortion beginning to be in. We'll have Vice President Pence on the program towards the end of the program talking very specifically about him and the new Supreme Court justice nominee and President Donald Trump and how they want to be able to end abortion in America. But when we get back from this break, we're going to debunk this statement from Planned Parenthood that says that only 3% of their services go towards ending the life of a child, abortion. Not true, and we'll debunk it after the break. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Data Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching. Welcome back. That Autumn did an excellent job of explaining in detail what's going on.
And it's so beautiful, too, because this generation is recognizing that they have a voice, mm-hmm. and they're not going to respond to people saying, oh, you're too young. It's just like, no, they can respond just as much to say that all life is valuable.
Murder's murder, you know.
That's right.
These kids are
right.
I don't want to kill my child. And
yeah.
and she went detail for detail from the Vogue magazine, Teen mm-hmm. Vogue. And it's just a tragedy. But think about this. They tell you that 3% of their Planned Parenthood, that 3% of Planned Parenthood's expenses go to just abortions.
Right.
Not true. As a matter of fact, we're going to debunk it right now with this video. Take a look.
America's largest abortion chain, Planned Parenthood, claims over and over and over again that abortion is only 3% of the services that they offer.
That's your self-reported abortion statistic.
3% of all the procedures we provide.
It's in their annual report. It's on their website. And their supporters say it all the time.
And abortions only comprise 3% of Planned Parenthood's health services.
Abortion services only account for about 3%.
Because only 3% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortions.
3% of patients visit Planned Parenthood for a safe and legal abortion.
Here's why that statistic is completely bogus, and why the senior editor of the online magazine Slate said that the 3% stat was the, quote, most meaningless abortion statistic ever, and why the Washington Post fact checker gave Planned Parenthood's 3% statistic three Pinocchios, marking it as, quote, very misleading. Let's look at the numbers. According to their own annual report, Planned Parenthood commits over 300,000 abortions per year. Last year alone, they did 323,999 abortions, which averages to 887 abortions per day, 37 abortions per hour, one abortion every 97 seconds. Again, Planned Parenthood commits one abortion every 97 seconds. But how much of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion? Well, let's divide the number of abortions they do in a year by the number of patients they see in a year. 323,999 abortions for 2.5 million patients means that 1 in 8 patients who walk into Planned Parenthood will undergo an abortion. Not 1 in 33, Elizabeth Warren, 1 in 8. It's easy to see where Planned Parenthood's priorities are. They commit 160 abortions for every one adoption referral. Though Planned Parenthood constantly talks about their breast exams and pap tests, they only do less than 1% of the nation's pap tests and 1.8% of the nation's breast exams, while they do 30.6%, a third, of the nation's abortions. But that's a public relations problem. So Planned Parenthood came up with a creative way to make their big business, abortion, look very small. To get the 3% figure, Planned Parenthood divides abortions by the number of so-called services, which they define as a discrete clinical interaction. And they count all these services equally, regardless of the cost, time, or effort it takes to render that service. So an entire abortion procedure, which can cost from $390 to $1,500, is counted the same as a pregnancy test, which a girl could get at a pharmacy for $10. In this way, Planned Parenthood is able to count 9.4 million services. Divide 323,999 abortions by 9.4 million services, and they get 3%. It's easy to see why this math is completely ridiculous. Say a woman goes to Planned Parenthood to get an abortion. She gets her pregnancy test, the abortion procedure, an STI test, and some contraceptives. In one visit, she gets four services, one of which is the actual abortion. So Planned Parenthood would say that abortion was only 25% of what they did for that woman, who came into the clinic only for an abortion. Well, by this math, even if 100% of Planned Parenthood patients got an abortion, they would still say abortion is only 25% of their services. Such distorted calculations could be used to obscure the purpose of any business. It would be like the NFL saying that because they sold 5 million hot dogs in a season and there were only 256 games, football is only 0.005% of what they do. Or it'd be like a steakhouse saying, actually, steak is only a very small percentage of what we serve because we also serve salad, mashed potatoes, french fries, beer, wine, soda, water, butter, salt, pepper, ketchup, toothpicks, and breath mints. We'd say, yeah, right, you're a steakhouse. Just like Planned Parenthood is an abortion corporation.
I mean, it's amazing how, I think about Saul Alinsky, the Rules for Radicals, and they say, you know, if you just repeat a lie long enough. And I heard Hillary Clinton saying that. We just saw the people on that particular video debunking this 3% thing for Planned Parenthood. And I remember Senator Warren mm-hmm. saying that, and saying we're not going to go back. I had no idea, according to Autumn, that was a cross-stitch type yeah. thing that they were giving to people.
And multiple voices in the media saying the exact same thing.
We just devalue life. It's like yeah. all of a sudden we found success in not family and not reproduction mm-hmm. and not having you know more of us. Yeah. And it's just crazy. But think about this. Look at these Planned Parenthood stats right here. According to these stats, Planned Parenthood aborts 323,999 a year children. They kill that many children in the womb. And it's government funded, and they're working on, you know, we'll have that on the program today, defunding Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. As a taxpayer, you should not be paying for that. And realize this, that of all the false gods that God hated the most, it was Moloch, because it was the sacrifice of children. And people were sacrificing children for their own convenience, is what's taking place. Mm-hmm. And so at that 323,999 a year, that comes out to 887 abortions just by Planned Parenthood in America every day. And then that also means, if you take that number, that's 37 abortions an hour.
That's right.
You know, during one of our programs, during our full program, that's 37 children, their life will be ended by Planned Parenthood. And not only that, I said earlier like 40, but it's actually one in every 97 seconds. Mm-hmm. So a minute and a half, basically, another child's life is taken. I mean, God is the creator of life. We're taking what God, I mean, think about that Cain's blood cries out today and what mm-hmm. we're doing today for these children. It's like, this has to be, if we want a great awakening and revival in America, we're not going to have it while we're shedding innocent blood. But we got some great new leaders who are focused on, we're going to end abortion, we're going to defund Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. and we're very excited about that. But also, you look at this. If you look at the counties, if you think about the counties or the equivalents of counties here in America, there's 3,144 counties in America. You know, parishes and counties, but it's about 3,144. And you take that 323,999 a year abortions and divide that by the counties. Mm-hmm. That's if you numbered it by counties, that's 103 abortions in every single county. Think about this. They would take those children in this false god Moloch, who was shaped like a bull, and they would take that baby and they'd put that baby alive in the belly of this bull as a metal bull, and then they would heat up the bull and burn the baby, and the horn shape was built in the mouth of this artificial bull, where it was like a speaker system. You'd hear the squeal and the cry of that baby died. Well, it's just as evil today as it was back then. But we're just killing them before they actually catch their breath, you know, in the womb, where they have not a voice out there. So you're looking at if per county, 103 per county. That means 103, just Planned Parenthood. There's more abortions than that, but Planned Parenthood's aborting or sacrificing to Moloch. This evil fragrance is going up for the nostrils of God, and God's going, this has to be dealt with. That comes out to about 8 or 9 abortions a day in every county of America.
Yeah.
Or it comes out to 0.4 abortions every hour in every single county and parish in America. I mean, we have to answer for this. That's why you hear us every single program. We say, dear God, end abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening. Why? Because we're not going to have a third great awakening. We're not going to have the revival that shifts this mm-hmm. nation if we don't shift the killing of the children. And just think about this. I think about, you know, Leviticus 18:21, he talked about Moloch here. In Scripture, he says, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Moloch, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. I mean, he was dealing with that. And, you know, back then, it was on a stone. It was in a belly of a bronze bull. But just because it's on a stainless steel table, with a padded mattress, with sheetrock walls in it, with a sign out says, you know, Moloch, kill baby here, it doesn't make it any, or it's murder.
Still the same.
We have to end it, you know, and there is forgiveness, but listen, we've got to end it, and we are moving in a direction where abortion is going to be ended.
Yes.
God's going to end it. We're going to have a Supreme Court justice that stands up for life. We're going to have a president who defunds and is for, a vice president mm-hmm. is for. And so this is very, very important. But when we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about the history of Planned Parenthood and how one pastor explains that it has a racist beginning. The particular lady who founded it, Sanger, she was wanting to extinguish the African American race, anybody of any tinted skin whatsoever, and the deplorables maybe, but it was
eugenics,
and all that. It's crazy. So this whole thing from the very beginning, but if it's the taking of life, come on, it's evil. But listen, right now, I have an offer for you. This offer, it's this, when you have, we have this positive momentum going where we really believe and can see where abortion can be ended in America, that's called a breakthrough year. And that's what I have for you. We have you a free offer. I want to send this to you. It's a year of breakthrough. And this is a huge breakthrough, is ending abortion in America, beginning the stages of ending it. But we want, this is a free gift we want to send to you for your partnership of any amount. It's our partners that keep us on the air. As a matter of fact, here are some details for it.
Offer 2025, a year of breakthrough. This year is a year of breakthrough. Many have been continually laboring and pressing in, not seeing the response that they had hoped for. But the seasons of yesterday are over. This is a new season. When God reveals that there has been a shift, it is important to forget the mindsets of old and not carry them into this new season. There is an abundance of resources and provisions coming to the church in this season of breakthrough. By not understanding the purposes of this season, we can be destroyed by the blessings that will overtake us. In this teaching, you will learn the importance of understanding the season, what your role is, what the purpose of this season is, and also how to shift in all that God has for you. Allow this teaching to encourage you and lift you up as you begin to walk in the fullness of all that God has for you in this breakthrough year. Become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, that's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's Offer 2025, a year of breakthrough.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Sometimes we try to love in the way that we want to feel loved, and that is usually diametrically opposed to how our spouse wants to be loved.
Kathy Lipp on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
I am, if we're talking the five love languages, I always say I have the shallow love languages. You know, buy me pretty things and do things for me. And I love Roger, so I would buy him things. I would do things for him. That's not how he feels
loved.
It didn't communicate. So for him, it's words of affirmation and quality time together. And surprise, surprise, physical touch. And so when I understood that, it changed the way I loved Roger. And it changed the way he received feeling love from me.
Understanding the way your spouse receives love and then responding appropriately can strengthen your relationship. More from Kathy Lipp today at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The atheists seem to think when you move away from the theistic framework that you can still be good without having God. There are at least seven different humanistic positions that arrive at ways of being good for different reasons and with a different catalog of good. You know, we seem to assume there's a homogeneous unit at every level that you cross. The level of good may be one thing in your office, but the moment you get into the nightlife and the street there's a different definition of goodness. It's circular reasoning. First of all, it assumes what good is monolithic. We all agree on the same terms. What's good for Mother Teresa was not good for Hitler. You know, what's good for Hugh Hefner may not be good for the family-oriented ethic. So it's a vacuous statement pretending to be very, very value-laden.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving father who loves you, who sent his son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about, you know, debunking Planned Parenthood's original roots. As a matter of fact, Clonard Childress, he speaks about the racist roots and the foundational history, the racist history of Planned Parenthood. As a matter of fact, take a look. This is the real deal about Planned Parenthood.
Well, Planned Parenthood has had a startling agenda from its inception, started by a woman whose goal in part was controlling the black population through abortion and sterilization. Margaret Sanger, with the goal of controlling the black population and other groups that she thought of the same. Here's a look back at at abortion and the providers, what they've done to minorities.
Abortion is black genocide. What happens to a mind of a person and the moral fabric of a nation that can accept the aborting of a child without a pang of conscience?
In many black communities, for every child actually born, three others are aborted, more than double the rate among whites. Dr. Clennert Childress, founder of blackgenocide.org, says the consequences of those figures will eventually end up destroying a whole race of Americans.
African Americans here in this country are the only ethnic group in any place on the globe that's not replacing themselves. This is genocide.
Some say abortion is the number one killer in the black community, leading more and more African American churches to speak out and take a stand for life. Bishop Daniel Robertson of Richmond's Mount Gilead Baptist Church says black pastors have a responsibility to their communities to do more.
We really need to just, you know, make a statement to the community that we believe the Bible, thou shalt not kill.
But Robertson's church does more than just preach against abortion. For one, they encourage their members to consider adopting these unplanned children.
We go to the abortion clinics and ask people. There are other alternatives. We try to educate people, let them know you don't have to do this. And so we do have that ongoing ministry. And then because our doors are open and we preach the message of Jesus Christ, we do try to give people hope.
In his book, No Shepherd's Cry, Childress says the black church can no longer be silent on the issue.
If there's a devouring force that is decimating my community, as a shepherd, I must respond with the truth and deliver the lamb with its young from the wolf and the devourer. And the devourer is the abortion industry.
Dr. Childress points out this should come as no surprise, considering that black Americans were long ago targets of the abortion industry. In the early 20th century, Margaret Sanger founded Planned Parenthood, an organization that later became the nation's largest abortion provider. Sanger encouraged abortion and sterilization to limit the size of black families. Childress says she also used the unaware black minister to further her agenda.
Margaret Sanger, a devout racist, a eugenics, and the author of the Negro Project, knew that the colored minister was going to be pivotal in getting her program across.
Because of that, both Robertson and Childress believe black clergy must take the lead in fighting against abortion.
The colored minister, the Negro minister, the African-American minister is pivotal right now in addressing the abortion issue because we have been silent due to political ties and due to some misinformation.
But Robertson says the issue isn't just with the black church, but with the faith community as a whole.
There are a lot of pastors, whether they're black or white, they're just comfortable. They don't want to stir up anything. You can't just stay behind the stained glass windows of your sanctuary, but you really do have to reach out into the community and make a difference.
And Paul Strand is back with me from our Washington Bureau. Paul, this story isn't new information for you. What else can you add? Did Sanger target others as well?
Yeah, she didn't just target black people. She also targeted, for instance, Southern Europeans, you know, the darker Europeans. They were flooding into America, and she was saying maybe we have to keep their numbers down. Well, not maybe. She thought their numbers should be kept down. And I haven't seen the direct sources on this, but I think she even had a problem with fundamentalist Christians. So she was all for eugenics. And, you know, the Nazis used her stuff to fashion their programs. And also, she talked to the KKK. She was at one of their rallies and was rousingly cheered. So this woman was is sort of a nightmare for people who are defending Planned Parenthood. They really don't want you to know much about Margaret Sanger's past.
Indeed. Well, do you think most people know the history of Planned Parenthood, especially right now, lawmakers who are debating whether the government should use our tax dollars to defund it?
Not only do most people not know the history at all, they don't even know what Planned Parenthood is doing today. This fact that they do more abortions than anybody else in America. In fact, if Planned Parenthood was a country, it would have the sixth highest rate of abortions in the entire world. Most Americans don't know that Planned Parenthood does abortion. So that's the problem here, this absolute lack of knowledge. Most people just think that they're giving women like reproductive health advice and contraceptives, things like that. And what's interesting, there's so many places, 10 times more the number of clinics that are doing these things than Planned Parenthood. If Planned Parenthood disappeared tomorrow, women's health, reproductive health, would be totally taken care of, except for maybe this question of abortions.
Now, you do you talk to a lot of pro-lifers. What are you hearing from them about all of this?
Well, I think that they are they're somewhat hopeful, but what's interesting to me is this solid wall of opposition as this defunding of Planned Parenthood comes up. And I kind of want to talk about that philosophy, why this is, because you would think as evidence piles up, people would be going, maybe I need to change my mind on this. But I think what we're seeing is that as the conscience has been seared over the decades, people have to prevent cognitive dissonance in the brain, they have to say, well, I'm right about this because maybe this isn't really a life, or this is different than the life of people after they're born, out of the womb. So I think what you're seeing is people trying, they have to stay opposed to it, because what happens in their own minds, what happens in their own hearts if they say, this is a baby, this is indeed a life, this is someone just like me, this is just like my children. So I think that's why you're seeing such a solid wall of opposition, and I think that's going to be an intensely hard thing to crack. So watch for that. Watch to see how does this wall of solid pro-choice opposition get even firmer as more and more of these videos come out. Where you would think it would crack the wall, instead I bet the wall gets higher and higher.
It's amazing that some people have actually said, if this doesn't move the country to defund Planned Parenthood, what would?
This is why it's so exciting, Steve, because what we're about to see after this break is a Vice President Mike Pence speaking at the pro-life march in Washington, D.C. in January 2017, saying that myself and the president are pro-life. We stand with you. We hear your cry. It's happening.
Yeah.
And so now we had the whole program about how horrific it is and all the roots of it. Now the remedy's here, the answer to prayer we're beginning to see. So we know we got to pray for our leaders. But when we get back, we're going to hear Vice President Mike Pence speaking at the Pro-Life March.
March for Life, yeah.
Just a couple of days ago. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Ain't it just like a tear to go and blur out?
A letter showed up in my mailbox with no tracks in the snow.
Just like you're not thinking about going back there, are you?
I gotta do something. This is all I got.
Ain't it just like love to leave a mark on the skin and underneath?
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching. Welcome back. We are so excited about being able to share with you this part of the program. If this would make no sense to you and would not encourage you unless you heard everything else you heard so far in regards to it's been evil. I mean, over 50 million children have been aborted, 329,999,000 every single year. You know, one every 97 seconds, one child is killed every 97 seconds by Planned Parenthood. They debunking, they said 3% of their services, you know, that's if you include the salt shaker and the other things that we talked about. And it's just not true. That's why what you hear right now with President Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, they were speaking prophetically here, but Vice President Mike Pence is saying, we're going to end this. Yeah. As a matter of fact, let's join Vice President Mike Pence as he speaks on his behalf and behalf of the White House and the behalf of President Donald Trump as he says what his their stand with this abortion and ending in America. Take a look.
More than 240 years ago, our founders wrote words that have echoed through the ages. They declared these truths to be self-evident, that we are, all of us, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. 44 years ago, our Supreme Court turned away from the first of these timeless ideals. But today, three generations hence, because of all of you, and the many thousands who stand with us in marches like this all across the nation, life is winning again in America. That is evident in the election of pro-life majorities in the Congress of the United States of America. But it is no more evident in any way than in the historic election of a president who stands for a stronger America, a more prosperous America, and a president who I proudly say stands for the right to life, President Donald Trump. President Trump actually asked me to be here with you today. He asked me to thank you for your support, for your stand for life, and for your compassion for the women and children of America. One week ago today, on the steps of the Capitol, we saw the inauguration of the 45th President of the United States. And I can tell you firsthand, our President is a man with broad shoulders and a big heart. His vision, his energy, his optimism are boundless, and I know he will make America great again. From his first day in office, he's been keeping his promises to the American people. I like to say over there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, we're in the promise-keeping business. That's why on Monday, President Trump reinstated the Mexico City policy to prevent foreign aid from funding organizations that promote or perform abortions worldwide. That's why this administration will work with the Congress to end taxpayer funding of abortion and abortion providers. And we will devote those resources to health care services for women across America. And that's why next week, President Donald Trump will announce a Supreme Court nominee who will uphold the God-given liberties enshrined in our Constitution in the tradition of the late and great Justice Antonin Scalia. You know, life is winning in America. And today is a celebration of that progress, the progress that we've made in this cause. You know, I've long believed that a society can be judged by how we care for our most vulnerable, the aged, the infirm, the disabled, and the unborn. We've come to a historic moment in the cause of life, and we must meet this moment with respect and compassion for every American. Life is winning in America for many reasons. Life is winning through the steady advance of science that illuminates when life begins more and more every day. Life is winning through the generosity of millions of adoptive families who open their hearts and homes to children in need. Life through the compassion of caregivers and volunteers at crisis pregnancy centers and faith-based organizations who minister to women in the cities and towns across this country. And life is winning through the quiet councils between mothers and daughters, grandmothers and granddaughters, between friends across kitchen tables and over coffee at college campuses. The truth is being told. Compassion is overcoming convenience, and hope is defeating despair.
Life is winning.
Yes.
Is it awesome?
This is a huge answer to prayer.
I mean, when we were praying over the years, every program ending with, "Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening." I mean, how relevant was the leadership at that time? Yeah. They were saying, "Hey, we want to end abortion." They were cranking it up. Remember? Yeah. I mean, as we're getting closer to ending it, the previous administration was just pouring fuel on it. The candidate that was running against President Trump, she had literally had, they had a, not, she didn't have this, I don't know, but they had a picture of her, Planned Parenthood did, with a t-shirt on, and it had literally, it looked like a bull, but it was the woman's reproductive system. It was what it was, but it looked like a bull, and I thought, man, that is Moloch 100%.
Yeah.
And it's like we were coming to a head. And it was coming to a point, and God just turned everything around. I want to encourage you, you know, to have faith again, to begin to ask again, begin to pray for our president, our vice president, the Supreme Court nominee that's going in. We need a couple justices to switch. The majority, majorities are right now in Congress are pro-life.
Yes.
The young folks, as we're seeing, as we heard Autumn talk about, yes. and you saw the people marching, are young. And it's just time for us to say, listen, God, we want to end this. This is our country. Mm-hmm. It's we the people, right? And so
Absolutely.
We can decide we want to end it. And we noticed this, and you saw our program, how the leader of Planned Parenthood, what's her name again?
Cecile Richards.
Cecile Richards. I mean, she was standing outside the Democratic National Convention while they were having some sort of outskirt party yeah. or something like that. And they were talking about, we can finally go for it. We can finally quit hiding, basically, I'm paraphrasing, hiding behind the bushes and just begin to just abort every child. You know, it's like just abortion, just crank it huge. And it was like, they were going to abort.
They were just going to increase it and do it unashamedly.
Didn't Childress say that 3 out of every 4 African-American children conceived is aborted by...
I don't know.
It's something that's like, my goodness, that's racism if you ever heard that. It's like literally stopping an entire race. And so I think about Dr. Evita King, and she is adamant about how it's genocide against the African American, our brothers and sisters in America, where, you know, if it is 3 out of 4, but it's a lot. I mean, we have the statistics, and we'll make that related to you on the VFN torch. But this, it's coming to an end. We're looking at the ripples effect of what we're going to see is a momentum of change. This is a year of breakthrough. That's why we're sending you that offer. This is a year of breakthrough, and we're watching one of the biggest things is all that blood of the innocent crying out and calling out. It looks like truly this is a Josiah moment.
Yes.
This is a Josiah moment. I want to be able to pray with you right now, and I appreciate if you pray with us. And let's pray that God would just quickly end this abortion in our country. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Father God, for our president and for our vice president and for the Supreme Court justice that's coming in. We thank you for March for Life. For 43 years, they marched faithfully and held this rose, this torch, this fire to say, Lord, end abortion in this nation. We thank you for Autumn and other teenagers and young people who are standing up for life. God, I pray. I thank you for majorities in Congress that are pro-life. God, we pray. Give us a grace, Lord. Put a wind behind America that just brings us right into ending abortion. And Lord, after that, God, we ask you, Lord, send revival. Send a third grade awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless. Don't forget, you can find out more about us at bfntv.com. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit vfntv.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.